This month, we're focusing on friendships. And the Bible is full of examples of the blessing of friendships. There's also plenty of examples of how wrong friendships negatively affect each other. I'm not going to necessarily focus on the negative today or over this next month. I'm going to focus on the blessings and importance of godly friendships. In the next several weeks, we're going to look at only a few examples of what godly friendships we find in Scripture. Now, there's a lot more than what I've picked, but I picked five. And there are many more besides the few I'm going to mention. But these are the five that I think will be relevant to us at this time. I also have an ulterior motive in choosing this topic of friendship. Over the next month, I want us to be purposeful in our friendships. With our friendships with each other, but also with our friendships with those outside of the church. I'm going to ask that for this month, that you would choose one person that you know who is unsaved. A neighbor, a coworker, a cashier, a maintenance man. I know you guys, some of you have maintenance men who come and fix things. Whoever is in your circle of influence, I want you to pick one of them and I want you to start praying for them. I want you to demonstrate the friendship qualities that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks to them. Do you know most people don't enter a church because they saw an advertisement somewhere? Most people don't come to Christ because they saw a catchy slogan. They come to Christ because they had a friend who brought them to church. I want you to pray for the salvation of a friend. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you divine opportunities to share what Christ has done in your life, the impact he's had on you, and how he's helped you through different difficult times in your life. Don't try to force it, because if we try to force it, they're going to know we're trying to force something. But rather, ask the Holy Spirit to provide that divine moment when it's appropriate to talk about spiritual things, and then ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. And I'm going to ask you to pray about an opportunity to invite them to church. The first Sunday in November, Sunday, November 3rd, we're going to have a Friendship Sunday. I'm asking you over the next month to pray for who you can invite to church that day. We're going to have coffee and cake and some cookies afterwards, and then I'll ask you each to contribute something if you're a baker. The purpose of that day, though, is not just to have cake and cookies. The purpose of that day is to invite our friends to hear the gospel message of how Jesus wants to be our friend. We'll finish out our friendship series that day with a salvation message. We're going to talk about today, like David and Jonathan. We're going to talk about Paul and Timothy. We're going to talk about Ruth and Naomi. And then on that day, we're going to talk about Jesus in us. This is the perfect opportunity to invite your friend that you've been praying for to church. I want to make one caveat here, though. I don't want your friend to feel like they are a project that you are working on. Where after this month, whether they come to church or not, you're like, okay, did my homework assignment. Whether they come to church or not, whether they accept Christ or not, on one particular day, does not free us from the fact that we are in this for the long haul. I want them to see what a loving relationship with Jesus does in somebody's life. And they're not going to just see that in a month. They need you to consistently walk with them and live out Christ to them. We want to be a living example of Jesus Christ. We just sang the song, Jesus Christ, My Living Hope. They're going to know that hope through seeing it alive in you. With all that being said, I want to start out our friendship series today with talking about David and Jonathan. Good friendships are becoming more and more rare in today's world, aren't they? With the advent of the internet, social media, smartphones, people think that friendships are strictly based upon what posts you like. On Facebook, I have friends who have wanted to friend me that I have never met in my life. But they're, you know, on Facebook, you can see this is a friend of a friend, so maybe I'll be their friend too, right? I know nothing of their lives, but they're my friend, right? People tend to only know each other through the pictures or posts or through the image a person projects on the internet or through social media. But very rarely does that online image really convey the realities of someone's life. You know when you really know somebody? When you're living, rubbing shoulders with them. And even more than that, today, if somebody disagrees with you or somebody posts something you don't like, the immediate answer is unfriend them. You're not my friend anymore. You're toxic because you disagree with me on the color of the sky. Yeah. As Christians, though, I believe Scripture calls us to genuine and meaningful relationships with people, where we are vulnerable and where we learn to walk together with people through ups and downs, disagreements, and the challenges of life. We are made to be in relationships. Throughout scriptures, we are encouraged to have friendships because they are vital to our emotional, spiritual, and even at times, scripture says, your physical health. David and Jonathan are just one example of that kind of friendship. And so we're going to try to learn a couple things from David and Jonathan's friendship today. And the first thing that I want you to know is that friendship is a gift from God. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David from him and did not let him return to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. This was a bit of an unlikely friendship. Jonathan was a prince in the king's courts. David was a shepherd. Shepherds weren't usually looked very highly on. David had been seen around the courts because he would come and play the harp for King Saul, when King Saul was troubled. David was a servant. So David wasn't high up in stature. Later, he gained significant rank. But up until this moment, he was just a kid playing the harp for the king. But Jonathan, after listening to David and King Saul talk, took a liking to David. And the two forged a strong relationship that lasted until Jonathan died. And even after Jonathan's death, David looked for ways to be kind to King Saul's descendants for the sake of his relationship and friendship with Jonathan, even though Jonathan had already passed. The friendship between Jonathan and David was a gift from God. How many of you today would say that you at least have one person that you would consider a true friend? Maybe it's somebody that you know has your back, right? I'm sorry, that's guy talk. Guys who talk about, I got your back. Maybe it's somebody that you feel like you would drop everything for and go help them if they were in need. Or maybe it's somebody that you know anytime you need, you can pick up that phone and talk to them. Or maybe somebody that after you haven't seen them for several months, you get together and it's like, it was just yesterday. That friendship is a gift from God. It's not just a chance encounter that developed into a friendship. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But that friendship was the result of God's sovereignty in orchestrating you meeting that person and connecting. I want to read you a quote from C.S. Lewis. And I specifically picked this because we're going to be watching a movie about C.S. Lewis in a couple weeks. So I thought this might be a good way to introduce you to him if you don't know who he is. But C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books called The Four Loves, he wrote, "In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years difference in the dates of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, 'You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you,' can truly say to every group of Christian friends, 'Ye have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another.' The friendship is not a reward for your discriminating and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others." When I read this quote, I thought it was a pretty powerful quote, that God brings people into our lives. He orchestrates those things. This is one reason why, as a part of my friendship series, I am encouraging you to reach out and be a friend to someone. It's not by chance that that someone is in your life. You are the gift that God has given them. Now, I want to be careful because sometimes people are like, well, I am the gift. I am God's gift to the world. All right? Wait, did you just say you wanted to re-gift me? But I want us to understand that God has placed certain people in our lives because he has given us the opportunity to be a gift to them, possibly bringing them to the point where they have salvation and know Jesus Christ for themselves. This initial meeting and budding friendship between Jonathan and David eventually becomes a vital friendship for David. And though we usually think of David as being this hero of faith, without this God-given friendship of Jonathan, David would have faced significantly more dangerous situations with King Saul. Jonathan acted like a big buffer at times. Another thing we can learn from David and Jonathan is that friendship is a gift from God, yes, but a true friend is true even when it costs something. Jonathan remained a true friend even when Jonathan's own life was threatened because of that friendship. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan. So Saul was having a big celebration, and he planned to use that celebration as an opportunity to kill David. Jonathan helped arrange for David to not be there. And that's where we pick this up. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled a spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On that second day of the feast, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. Friendships can be really easy to maintain when you both get something out of it. But they get much harder to maintain when there's a cost to that friendship. With Jonathan, his friendship with David cost him on two fronts. The first is that as long as David lived, Jonathan would never sit on the throne of Israel. Consider that for a moment. Jonathan risked his standing, his inheritance, his kingdom, to be friends with David and to remain a true friend. David was anointed to be the next king. The people loved David. David was winning battles. David was overshadowing Saul and Jonathan. But Jonathan chose to remain a true friend, even though it meant that he would never be king. His friendship was costing him something. He could have easily turned David in. He could have said, "Okay, Dad, you're right. David is out behind the rock in the field." David would have been killed, and Jonathan would have secured his reign. But he valued his relationship with David, and so he refused to betray David, and it cost him a kingdom. That's a pretty good friendship. I have never had somebody give up their kingdom for me. Right? I have friends that won't even give up, I don't know, half of their coffee roll for me. Right? The second thing it cost Jonathan was his relationship with his father. Saul berates Jonathan. "You son of a perverse woman, you. How stupid could you be?" That, for some people, is incredibly motivating to try to do what your parents want you to do, right? Or what somebody wants you to do when they start to berate you. Saul berates Jonathan, and then, as if that's not enough, he tries to spear Jonathan. Listen, my dad and I have butted heads at times. I've never had him throw a spear at me. And if you've had your dad throw a spear at you, I think you should talk to somebody about that. But Jonathan didn't betray the friendship. He remained true to the end. 1 Samuel 20, 41 through 42. So this is the next day after Saul has tried to pin Jonathan with a spear. Jonathan goes out to where he was going to meet David, shooting an arrow, and the arrow was kind of the signal. If it goes too far, it means this. If it goes this way, it means that. And I'll give you the clue. I'll say, "Oh, go to the right, go to the left." After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. You know what's really funny sometimes? We as guys feel like emotions, you know, not a baby, I'm not going to cry. But yet, look here. They kissed each other and wept together. Remember I said a big part of friendship is vulnerability. I said that towards the beginning. These guys' friendship, and it wasn't anything weird. Okay, sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, David and Jonathan had a different kind of relationship. But that's because they don't understand the love we have in Christ for each other as brothers and sisters. And here, Jonathan and David were being vulnerable with each other, and they wept together over the fact that Jonathan had almost just been killed, over the fact that his friend's father, right? David wept because his friend's father wanted to kill him. But David, it says, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. If friendships are truly a gift from God, then we should be very cautious about easily dismissing them. Instead, we are called to remain true and faithful, even when it isn't easy. And the truth is, there are going to be lots of times that it's not always easy. Sometimes it costs us time. Sometimes it costs us convenience. Sometimes I love my friends, but they get on my nerves, right? I don't think there will ever be a time when remaining loyal to a friend will cost me my life, but it may cost me the opinion of others. But if the friendship is a gift from God, then it's worth the cost to remain true. If God's placed somebody in your life to bless you, to challenge you, to help you to grow, then it's something worth holding on to. I just want to clarify something, though, in case I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea of what I'm saying here. The world is going to tell us that the cost of a friendship means that we need to compromise our faith at times. This is not something we can ever count as a cost. I would say, actually, that if you want to remain true friends with somebody, we need to remain faithful to God first. It's His definition of love and friendship that we seek to implement in our lives. We can love others well that are not believers, even though they may disagree with us. We can love others well who don't have the same worldview and choices we have. Now, I'm saying we can be friends with unbelievers, and there's a difference between the kind of friendship we have unbelievers, because they don't share our faith. But that doesn't mean that the moment they disagree with us, we have to cut them off. How will they know about Christ if every opportunity they have to hear about Christ gets cut off because you don't like the fact that they smoke, because you don't like what they've done? We cannot love people well if we compromise truth for the sake of peace or acceptance. But we can love people well even if they disagree with us. Another thing we can learn from David and Jonathan A true friend loves you as he loves himself. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 and 3. Verse 1 says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Verse 3 says, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Not only is loving others as we love ourselves a great basis and a foundation for a lasting friendship, it's also a command given to us by Jesus. Jesus sums up the law in two things. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Jesus says, love God, love others. But this is not an easy command. If you have ever spent any time with people, you know loving others isn't always easy, right? I mean, let's be honest, people are messy. You're messy. I'm messy. We are messy. We are complicated. We are complex. We're likable and unlikable at the same time sometimes. We tend to like things simple and easy. But the truth is, people are rarely ever simple and easy. Yet we would want someone else to love us when we're messy and complicated and complex, right? We would want others to be graceful and merciful with us, right? We would want others to remain true to us even when we're not at our best. This is how we are called to love our friends. With grace, mercy, forgiveness, and remaining true. This is why Jonathan was able to put himself at risk with his father and let go of the throne. Because he loved David the way he loved himself. He loved David the way he loved God. And he responded to David the way he would want others to treat and respond to himself. And I want to just make a note here. Our relationship with God is reflected in our relationship with others. If we are struggling to love others as we love ourselves, sometimes we need to do a checkup. Check the oil. Because when we're in a thriving, when we're thriving in our relationship with God, when we're experiencing His love, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, His patience for ourselves, then it becomes easier to extend those things to others. Easier. I didn't say easy, I just said easier. But when we're running on empty in our relationship with God, we often struggle to love others well. One last thing that we can learn from David and Jonathan. A true friend helps you find strength in God. My last point for us to consider today is that in a true friendship, we help each other connect with God. Look at how Jonathan responded to David when David was discouraged. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. David was once again faced with a king who wanted David dead. David had been loyal to the king. He had been a faithful servant. David, even when he had opportunities after the king was trying to kill him, David respected and honored him for his position. And yet, the king wanted David dead. Can you imagine how discouraging that would be? Jonathan went to David and helped David find his strength in the Lord. Jonathan knew the place to find true strength and comfort was in God. So when Jonathan learned that his father was once again trying to kill David, Jonathan went to David and tried to help him find true comfort by helping him connect with God. Sometimes in our friendships, people are suffering, struggling, grieving. And even though I'm a pastor and I've done several funerals and I'm, you know, around people who are struggling, sometimes I think to myself, I don't know what to say. And I've even told people, I wish I could say something that would make it better. But in those moments, there is something that I can do to be a true friend. I can help them find strength in the Lord. I can pray with them. I can share scripture. Not trite answers, but say, hey, this is something I hold on to. Can I share this verse with you? We often desire these things from our friends, right? That when we're struggling, that they would pray with us, that they would share some verses and encouraging words to us. But we're also called to not just wait for everybody else to do it for us, but for us to do it for others who are hurting. But I want us to be careful that we don't use Christian cliches and shallow, oversimplified answers. Have you ever been having a hard time and somebody said something to you that was just a cliche and you're like, wow, that really helps me, not in the least? Telling someone who's suffering that God's going to turn it to good, while it may be true, guess what? In that moment, all that makes me feel like is God's doing this to me for good? Like, we have to be careful of what we share with our friends or what we say to our friends and the cliches that we use. I think sometimes sitting with them, praying with them, and just being quiet with them is so much more powerful than saying, God works all things together. This, again, is why I'm encouraging you to pray for an unsaved friend this month. You may have a friend who is struggling, and maybe you don't even know about it. I mean, how many things are you struggling with that the people around you don't know? Right? They may be going through something, and during that struggling and suffering, you may be the one that God wants to use to help encourage them in their faith and to strengthen them in the Lord. Maybe God wants you to pray for somebody. I know all of us sometimes feel awkward being like, can I pray for you? It can be awkward if you're not used to doing that. But here's the thing. A simple little, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you about? Sometimes has a big impact on people. Little gentle things like that can go a long way and softening a person's heart towards the things of God. And the truth is, we need good friends that when we're struggling, they come alongside us. Scripture does say that sometimes the things we've gone through are so that we can offer comfort to others the way we've been comforted and encourage them in the Lord the way we've been encouraged. I'm going to pause this right there because I think there's four things in there for us to chew on. A friendship is a gift from God. A true friend is a true friend even when it costs something. A true friend loves you as he loves himself. And a true friend helps you find strength in God. We're going to participate in communion in just a minute, but before we do communion, I would like for us to take a moment to pray. And I want us just to take a moment and ask God to place someone on our heart that over the next month, we can make a point of being a godly friend to them. Asking God to put a name on your heart of that neighbor or the person that God has placed in your life so that you can be a gift from God to them. Begin to pray for opportunities to speak to that friend about Christ. Sometimes I like to call them divine appointments. An opportunity where you can invite them to know church or to come to church or invite them to know Jesus. Another thing that we're going to pray about right now before we move into communion is maybe you don't know these kinds of friendships. Maybe you have felt lonely. It's okay to ask God to bring somebody into your life that you can have that solid friendship with. In fact, if you look around this room, there's probably others who are like, man, I wish I had a strong friendship like that. Maybe God's placed you guys both in the same church so that you can be that solid Christian friendship for each other. And lastly, let's pray and ask God, God, how can I be a better friend, exemplifying the friendship that is viewed as a gift from God to someone? Let's just pray for a couple minutes. Jesus, I just want us to be real practical in this. God, you have placed people in our lives that, Lord, we can be a godly friend to. And through that, Lord God, introduce them to you. Lord God, I pray that over this next month, as we seek to take these friendship principles and put them into practice, I pray that you would give us the name of a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, somebody that we see on the regular. Put their name on our heart that, Lord God, we can then become the godly friend and influence that you have placed them in their lives for us to be. God, give us a burden for them. God, give us a churning to pray for them. Lord God, we ask for divine appointments and opportunities where maybe they're sharing with us and we can be like, oh, I know what you need. Let me tell you about how Jesus met my need. God, I pray that their hearts would be softened towards the things of God because of the influence that we have in their lives. And Lord God, I pray that you would provide us an opportunity to invite them, Lord. Father, for those in our midst who maybe are lonely and they're hungry for a godly relationship with a friend, Father, would you just hear the cries of their heart? And would you just bring maybe somebody within this body, maybe somebody from another source, but a godly friend into their lives. Help us, Father God, to be godly friends to those who are lonely and hurting. And Father, I pray that you would help us to grow in our ability to befriend others and to be the godly friend that you have created and called us to be. Lord, I thank you for the friendships that you have provided us already. And Lord, we look forward to what you can do through us and some of these new friendships and relationships that we're looking to forge. I'm going to ask if our ushers could come forward.